Your attendance to the fifth of 11 lectures in the Black World Perspectives, co-sponsored by the Afro-American Lecture Series and the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, receives you graciously. My name is Mary White, and at this time, the university represents a major part of my world, as I am a clerical employee, I'm a part-time student, and I'm the wife of a student. I am reminded to tell you that Mr. Gregory will not entertain questions in the Assembly Hall. However, Clark Residence Hall is where he'll be, at 4th and Gregory. Coincidental. But at any rate, that's where he'll be. And tomorrow at 11 o'clock in room 228, in the Natural History Building, you may also have more interaction with Mr. Gregory. I am also reminded to invite you all to hear Mr. Don Lee, a brother, a poet, who will be the next visiting lecturer next Thursday, March 17 at 8 o'clock, room 112 of Gregory Hall. Once again. Okay. Mr. Gregory. All of his energies and all of his anxieties and emotions supposedly have been channeled into that of a lecturer, a humorist, an actor. At present, his latest publishing by Harper and Row, entitled No More Lies, subtitled The Myth and the Reality of American History. Also, he has two recent recordings on Poppy Label, Frankenstein, and Dick Gregory Live at the Village Gate. Join me, won't you, in giving a most heartfelt welcome to our dynamic personality.
Thank you. Hey, we'd like to say thank you very much. And can you people back up in the cheap seats here, okay? Sure is a funny looking little old building, isn't it? I imagine they thought they was putting them a hip little old thing together, though. Well, I sure would hate to live in a world with nothing but architects, man. I mean, you look at some of the stuff they put together, you swear these cats ain't never been to school, wouldn't they? And then they sell stuff like this. Only to educated people would buy something like this. Because you go around some cats who we call uneducated and fools and show them something like this, man, they'd run you out of town. You know, if you really want to have some fun, you should go to New York or California and go to the airport and try to book yourself in the Champagne on Nord. You know, I should have known something was wrong with this place when Ozark was the only one that would come in. And I really should have got hip to it when I called Ozark and say, what time is your next flight to Champagne? And they said, what time can you get here? But we made it. And y'all do look normal. You know, I was looking at television earlier tonight, well, this afternoon, rather, had Dick Nixon on. That's a funny cat, sir. Yeah, I don't care what you say or how you feel about it. Nixon, a funny cat. Ever seen a cat whose jaw, you ever notice his jaws? He looked like a cat that had mumps and forgot to get rid of them, didn't he? No, Nixon is a weird. Nixon looked like, and that's why Nixon got in. That's why he became president. Nixon looked like a cat who's had all the child diseases. Right? I mean, you never look at him and you never associate, you know, gonorrhea with Nixon, right? But chicken pops, yes, right? And I was looking at him on TV today, and you see, the only time Nixon really bothers me and it's when he leaves the country, you know. And it haven't got anything to do with Dick Nixon. You see, I don't care who the president is. Anytime the president of the United States leaves the country, I always get uptight because I always get a sneaky suspicion he might know something. Not to mention, with Nixon being the president today, anytime Nixon leaves the country, Agnew becomes the number one boy in charge. And that bothers me. That bothers me because Agnew just reminds me of the type of cat that would make a crank call to the Russians on the hotline. Other than that, I kind of dig Agnew myself. And what I mean by that, I don't have the normal hang-ups about Agnew that most folks do. You see, I dig Agnew because I believe Agnew's putting everybody on. Yeah, you see, I don't believe it is humanly possible for one man to be born that dumb. You see, if Agnew was as dumb as he wants us to believe he is, he wouldn't be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. Yeah, I dig Agnew because regardless of what you say about him, at least you have to admit he's consistent. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Agnew got on television next week and called Nixon a honky. Now, I don't mean to scare you young folks or nothing like that, but you are aware of the fact that Agnew finished college, aren't you? That's right, University of Baltimore. And they tell me he was a dumb cat. Yeah, I talked to one of his roommates that lived in the dormitory with him. They tell me Agnew was such a dumb cat, one night all the guys in Agnew's dormitory decided to hold the panty raid, and they said Agnew was the only cat to come back with a jockey strap. Now, you can't get much dumber than that, right? See, I'd like to say to you youngsters, congratulations on the fact that you are now, as the Supreme Court said, you now have the right, you 18, 19, 20-year-olders now have a right to vote in all federal elections, which is hip if you don't get caught in no trick, you know. by that, well, they're already trying to program you. See, it's 11 million new voters. Well, how do they know how many of you it is? You know, you ever thought about that? Who counts you? The same folks that don't want to see you vote. So it's really about 30 million of you. That's right. And they tell you it's 11 million to make you think you're not too strong. That's the same way with black folks, you know. Who counts us? The Census Bureau, right? And hell, I'm 38 years old. I ain't never seen the census taken. Yeah, you know, and that's something else. A lot of black folks have started asking themselves, who counts us? It's 22 million blacks. How do you know? Shit, there was that many niggas in my backyard when I was a kid. Shit. You know, no, what they do, they count all white folks in America, then keep telling us we 10% of you. That's right. And if we really knew how many of us it was, ooh, my God. It'd be a whole lot of people scared. That's right. I was on television show the other day, and the guy said, well, if you're not going to take the census report for how many blacks are, how many blacks would you say there are? I don't know how many there are. It's just goo gobs of black folks. Now, that sounds better than 22 million. I mean, goo gobs sound like you got your army. That's right. So the guy says, well, how many is goo gobs? I said, goo gobs is when you stand out in an open field and look as far as you can see where the sky meets the earth, is some niggas on the other side of that. And so I hope you new young voters don't get put in that old trick they like to put folks in. They've already split you up and said X amount going to vote liberal and X amount going to vote conservative. And if liberalism and conservatism was any good at all, the Indians wouldn't be up on the reservation. And so I hope you youngsters get some other type of force together that will solve the problem instead of just divide in half and one say I'm for this and the other say I'm against this and one meanwhile somebody's on a reservation going through some changes. You know, I hope you youngsters... Matter of fact, I kind of hope that when you get your first time to exercise your right, you trick everybody. You know, don't take your first year voting too serious. You know, and then go down and do you some things. See if you can use your vote to upset the old folks, and we give you anything you want. Then that's right. You realize if all you youngsters went to the polls the first time you get to exercise your right to vote and vote in prohibition. Boy, you talking about upsetting the system. I bet you get some respect then. Boy, they'd be on their knees begging you to go back. Oh, yeah, that's our number one drug problem in this country. You realize there's 9 million alcoholics in America tonight? You know, the third highest cause of death in this country is cirrhosis of the liver. My God, if you voted in prohibition, you ain't seen no revolution. Till the whiskey revolution. And it'd be grand if you kids, you know, really get your thing together and only vote for the type of candidates that's going to relate with you young folks. Like all the senators and congressmen, only vote for the ones that promise you if they get elected, they'll raise the draft age to 75 years. And we let some of these old patriotic freaks get over there. You know, Gramp, how you've been saying you wish you could get your arthritic hand on some of them commies? Well, that bill went through this morning. Looked like you're going to get your wish. And then we'll go back to Cambodia and go into Laos with the old folks' brigade, with John Wayne leading them. Yeah. I want to say to you young folks this evening, it's a pleasure to be with you. I guess I can truthfully say that I spent about 98% of my time today on college campuses. And for a reason, and the simple reason is that you young folks in America today is probably the most morally, ethical, dedicated, committed group of young folks that's ever lived in the history of this country, bar none. And I hope that you youngsters don't have to continue to read these old right-wing, cracker-controlled newspapers to find out who you are or what you're all about. Because you see, the average established newspaper in America today is not even morally sound enough to even to discuss you young kids with yourself. What they call you, hippie, yippie, irresponsible, bearded, smelly kids, whatever the hell that means. My reaction to that's always been, because you have a beard, why does that mean you have to stink? And they don't say nothing about Abraham Lincoln. And he didn't only have a beard, he was ugly too. And so what I'm trying to say is, I hope you youngsters understand who you are and what you're all about. I hope you youngsters don't wait on us older folks to define you and your efforts, because not only will we lie on you, we'll lie to you. And I guess that's really the effort behind the new book, No More Lies, The Myth and Reality of American History. I guess after being up on the college campuses now for 5 years, I'm beginning to see the problem. And what the problem is in America, for 400 years in this country, we've lived in a myth, and now you young kids is forcing us to deal with reality, and we're going crazy. Yeah, man, we lived in a lie for so long. You youngsters really got us in a trick. See, there was a time when you caught us, we could blame it on the communists. And be honest with you, I'm so damn sick and tired of these old freaks in this country blaming all the good things on the communists. They ain't never blamed nothing bad on the communists in this country. And you march down the street tonight with picket signs say, free the Indian off the reservation. And these fools say, that's communist inspired. You say, feed hungry folks in America. And they say, that's communist inspired. I wonder why these old freaks don't blame something bad on the communists. Like go in town and find the whorehouse that the cops can't find. So that's the communist house there. Mm-hmm. We ought to blame, you know, if we get together and blame dope pushing on communists and the opium on communists, it'll not only give the communists a bad name, make these right wingers march on the opium house. Yeah, cats stick up a bank. I say, I know they're going to blame that on the communists. No, they don't blame nothing bad on the communists. No more lies. And you know, boy, we left you young people a mess to clean up. Not just in America, hell, man, and messed up the whole damn world. And that's why I don't understand every time you march down the street talking about liberation and talking about man's inhumanity, man, they blame it on the communists. See, them funky communists is just as sick and degenerate as this country is. Why are they always going to blame something good on them? You know, I say this to you youngsters because you got to clean this mess up. Understand one thing. Anytime man messes up anything and dirties it up real good, then he passed laws against it. You realize that? Yeah, anything he dirty up, he legislates against because he don't want to see it. And the laws that he passed against, it had nothing to do. If he passed the law against himself, he solved the problem. You take a house, a legitimate house that's built, and a bunch of old sick slimy men start running whores in and out the house, and everybody starts saying, that's a whole house. No, ain't nothing wrong with the house. House ain't got nothing to do with it. And then people pass by and say, look at that. There's a whole house. Look at that. Everybody be talking about the whole house. And if they lay in the bushes long enough and just watch the house, they might see somebody coming out they know. Anything man dirties up, He passed laws against. That's why black folks got so many laws passed against us. That's right. That's why poor folks got so many laws passed against them. That's why the Indian got so many laws passed against them. Man, we dirted up that Indian so bad. That's why you women got so many laws passed against you. You know, that's why we passed so many laws against sex. Man, we've dirted up sex so bad, don't nobody want to see it. That's right. Nobody want to see it. So cats go to bed with you and cut all the lights out. That's right. Yeah, they ain't dirted up the sex organ so bad. I don't mind going to bed with you, John, but not with the lights on. Like the lights dirted it up. Yeah, nobody want to see no sex organs. Huh? You know, I could walk outside tonight, temperature could be about 50 below zero. I could walk outside with no shoes, no socks on. Everybody say, you know, Gregory, crazy. You walk around there barefooted, 50 below zero. But I wouldn't go to jail. I'd come back in the building and take my coat off and my shirt off and my T-shirt off and walk out there with nothing on my back. My chest open, my back showing, and no shoes and socks on, 50 below zero. And everybody say, well, he's crazy. Look at him. And cops be laughing. No, look at him. I come back in the building and take off my pants and walk out there with some shorts on, 50 below zero, and everybody say, I know he's crazy. No. Then I come back in the building and take off my shorts and walk out there naked. I ain't crazy no more. Now I go to jail. And why do you think I go to jail? Because I dared show a sex organ that man has dirtied up. That's right. I can walk out with my chest out because, you know, but you women better not walk outside with your titties showing. That's right. Not the way we dirtied up your breasts, honey. That's why you got to cover them up. And the day we men find a way to dirty up each other's breasts like we dirtied up yours, that'll be the day when we go outside, we have to put little band-aids on out. That's why we make you women wear so many clothes. We dirt up your sex organ so bad. But I tell you what, we men have dirted up our sex organ more than we dirted up yours. I guess you women don't understand that, but you know, if you women could ever get to peep into a men's toilet, I mean, you cannot believe how bad we men have dirted up our sex organ till you get to see them in the toilet. They dirt up so bad, nobody want to look at it. If you could peep in the men's toilet, they walk all the way up into the stall. That's right. Then they zip their pants down and look up in the ceiling. And so every time I stop in the airport, I go hang out in the men's room. So what the hell are you looking at the ceiling for? Why don't you look down, you know? God, mama. Well, anything man dirties up, he don't want to see. And put you in jail if you show it. That's right. I walk out here tonight and walk up to a tree and zip my pants down and start peeing on the tree. And I really tried to find a better way of saying that than peeing on a tree, but there's no other way you can say peeing on a tree. Then peeing on a tree, right? I had one old woman one night say, you could say passing your water. I said, hell, lady, I can spit and do that. So I walk out here at night and walk up to a tree and zip my pants down and start peeing on a tree, right? Here come the police. All right, put your hands up. You want both of them right now, officer? How about if I give you one now and one in a few minutes? Okay, all right. Whew, sure felt good. Whew. All right, officer, what's wrong? You're under arrest. For what? I don't ask me no questions. Just get in the car. And all over the world, the news hits tonight. Dick Gregory arrested for what? Not peeing on trees. No, there's no law to say you can't pee in public. I go to jail for indecent exposure. And you don't have to be peeing. Just zip it down and pull it out. Right. And you go to jail because you dared show a sex organ that man has dirtied up. But understand, there is no law in the world that say you can't pee in public. I mean, I can stand here tonight while I'm talking to you and pee in my pants. I ain't broke no law. Matter of fact, all of you can pee in your clothes. That's right. Long as you don't show nothing, they just say them young kids, you better say, gone crazy. Yeah, we've dirtied up sex so bad. You realize none of us on the face of this earth could get here without sex. And we've dirtied up so bad, nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to admit that's how we got here. How you get here? Well, I was published. Little kids come and ask their parents, how'd I get in? We go tell them a whole lot of bullshit lies. Yeah, we've dirted up sex so bad. Everybody do it, but nobody admit it. Hey, John, what'd you do last night? Yeah. And it's getting worse. Oh, it's getting worse. Can't take a woman out now. He don't even ask. They don't even want to talk about it. You just be there and almost that hand just reach out. What are you doing? Oh. You ever stop to think that all human beings was born with a sex organ to reproduce, which is nothing more than to create? You ever just think about that. We have the ability to create new life. Now, how can that be dirty? How can a organ that you use to create new life be so dirty that we can't talk about it and Lord no can't show it? Sounds funny, but that's that. How can the creation be dirty? I tell you why. Because man has not used his sex organ for creation. He's used it for recreation. Oh, yeah. Now, that's a different ball game. Yeah. Uh-huh. Huh. Yeah, matter of fact, we've had so much recreation with sex organs now. Now we let you women take birth control pills so we can keep having fun. You ever stop to think? And that birth control thing kind of leaves me a little cold. And I guess that's mainly just because I'm basically stupid, I guess. But we got a bunch of scientists that have said and said at the rate man is populating the world today, in 100 years, there will be so many people on the face of the earth that would create such a crisis that the world would probably be destroyed just by so many people. That's 100 years from now, they say that would happen. And so to offset that, we come up with birth control pills to do away with the kids. Now, the thing that I can't understand, let's assume that overpopulating the world would affect this world like the scientists say it would 100 years from now. So now we're going to take birth control pills and do away with the kids. But we all know that atomic nuclear stockpile around the world can do away with the world in the morning, not 100 years from now. But nobody's talking about doing away with the atomic stockpile.
We'll do away with people. Take the birth control pills. Too many of them. Something that they claim is a threat to mankind 100 years from now, but nuclear stockpile that's a threat in the morning, nobody wants to get rid of. I say to you youngsters, you got a big job, because we old fools and left you a mess to clean up. Big job. I hope you youngsters understand the very faith and destiny of America depends on you. Oh, you hear us talking about problems in America today, and many people say we might not be able to solve these problems. I say to you young folks in America tonight that have to solve these problems, don't worry about what you're hearing the old folks talk about the problems. You see, it's a very interesting thing. Every problem confronting America today was created by man, which means these problems can be solved overnight. If you young kids decide to solve these problems with honest, ethical statesmanship ability and not this sick, tired, degenerate political muscle. That's what's wrong with America today. The same slimy, degenerate political forces that's created the problems is now telling us they can't solve the problems. Well, you damn right. The Democrat and Republican Party is too degenerate and unfit to govern anymore. That's why this country's about 18 years to 2 months away from a dictatorship. Oh, I don't have no doubt about it. The CIA is going to take it over. And when they do, can't blame nobody but us old folks in America. Imagine for 100 years in this country, we've gone to the poll every election day and voted for the lesser of the two evils. Try that for 100 years and ain't nothing else left but a dictatorship. Don't have no doubt what them freaks is planning on doing. They're going to take it over. That's what that army intelligence spying on civilian. What do you think that's all about? They just admitted last week that the army have files on 25 million Americans. One out of every eight. One day it broke in the headlines in this country that every governor in America had a tap on his phone. Who do you think put them taps on the governor's phone? The Black Panthers? The youngsters got a big job. That's why them cats in Washington, D.C. ain't too stuck on revenue sharing. Boy, they know once they lay some big dough on these local politicians there. Ooh, my God. Can you imagine $2 billion being sent to the state of Illinois to split up with us? If Paul just happened to get caught. But there's a whole lot of Paul Paul in this state here. Just. I don't know what y'all would do with that money around here, but I know if y'all send some of that money to them gangsters in Chicago, what they'd do with it. Well, y'all don't have to tell you. You got enough sense to watch this political arena in this country to know what's going down. In order to become a U.S. senator today, you must spend $2 million campaigning to get a $55,000 a year job. Hell, people that can't even count got enough sense to figure that out. New York, Rockefeller last year spent $8 million to become governor of New York again. Hell, for $8 million, I could run for God. And win. That's another thing we really messed up in this country. God. Oh, we really made a trick out of that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under God. Are you serious? You know how many old freakish Americans really believe this is a nation under God? We got that Indian locked up on that reservation under more miserable conditions than anybody else on the face of this earth. And you believe this is a nation under God? We dropping napalm on women and kids and just kill people indiscriminately the world over, and you really believe this is a nation under God, don't you? Only country in the world where the guy that harvests the crop is dying from malnutrition. Well, I tell you one thing. If this here is a country under God, I sure would hate to see a nation under the devil. Yeah, keep your eye on that political thing. What was it, the last Congress, they had a couple of congressmen decided they was going to come up with a list of what they call radical speakers. Well, a U.S. district judge told them they couldn't come up with a list like that because in a country where you have constitutional right of freedom of speech, it is unconstitutional for you to draw up what they would be known as a bad list. Man, them congressmen told that judge, go to hell and printed that list anyway. That's them law and order freaks now. And to be honest with you, I'm one of the few names on that list that had my name not been put on that list, I would have gone to that same judge and that told him not to put the list out and made him make them put my name on it. Because I have no doubt about it, I'm radical. Anytime a man go 40 days on not eating, just drink water to protest the war in Vietnam, he radical. But, you know, I looked at that list of 65 names, and the interesting thing about that list is damn near everybody on that list have more ethics and honesty and statesmanship ability in their little baby toe than damn near the whole U.S. Senate and Congress got put together. But my hang-up with that list and them congressmen is, since we got some folks in Washington, D.C. that want to wake you Americans up to something, why don't they wake you up to something that's going to do you some good? Why don't they print a list that's going to mean something to you? Hell, knowing who your radical speakers are don't make you sleep any better at night, do it? Why don't they come out with a list of all the dope pushers in America? Now, that's a list. And I'm sure if a little old stupid 15-year-old kid can find a dope pusher, I'm sure the federal government can find them. Why don't they come out with a list not only of the dope pushers, but why don't they print up maps of the way, the whole route that the hard drugs go through to get to this country? Why don't they show just maps of how the heroin leaves Turkey? It sells for $16 a kilo, then it goes to France where they cure it, then Canada, then into America, and when it gets here, it sells for $10 million a kilo. Now, why don't they print up maps of the drug route? And if nothing else, we all get us a map and go down to where it's marked, where it's going to come in, just stand down and say, come on, bring it over, baby. We watching. Bring it on over here. What I'm trying to say is, since these senators and congressmen are so busy on wanting to wake up you Americans, why don't they wake you up to something that's going to mean something to you? Why don't they print up a list of all the gangster syndicate hoodlums in America and what territories they control and what legitimate businesses they moved in on? Oh, it'd scare y'all at this school here to find out how many of your supplies the gangsters supply you. Yeah. That's why you don't have to worry about it. They got to tell you kids in these state schools, if you get to raising hell, they close the school down. Don't you never believe that. Boy, these stinking politicians, man, they ain't about to close one of these schools down when they got the toilet paper concession. And You know, the question is, if the Congress want to wake you youngsters up and you old folks in America up, why don't they print up some lists that mean something to you? Why don't they go down to the Pure Food and Drug Administration and get that list and print it up of all the poisons and additives that the Pure Food and Drug Administration permits the food industry to put into your food that's killing you every day when you go to dinner. Yeah, why don't they go down to the Surgeon General's desk and get that report that's been laying on his desk for 20 years that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is more stomach cancer caused in America from drinking coffee than lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. I'm sure you coffee drinkers would be interested to know that not only have that list been reported to the federal government for 20 years, but they ain't gonna even let you know about it. Yeah, I'm sure that would be more interesting to you coffee drinkers than knowing who your radical speakers are, because at least radical speakers ain't gonna give you cancer your belly. And since them freaks want to pull your coat to something, why don't they pull your coat to something instead of just tell you about the radical speakers? Because, hell, if they was pulling your coat and informing you of everything you should be informed of, you wouldn't have to wait for your radical speakers to come to town and wake you up to what's happening. Yeah, they got so many poisons in your food. Hey, you ever peeled an Irish potato at home? You ever notice when you peel an Irish potato, it turns brown in your hand while you're peeling it? Sure, it oxidizes, right, while you peel. Then how in the hell you think you go to the supermarket today and get these Irish potatoes already peeled up, ready to be fried, ready to be made in home fries? How do you think you get them potatoes and they snowy white with no peelings on it when you know damn good and well it's normal for an Irish potato to turn brown while you peel them? How do you think they keep them white? They bleach them in formaldehyde. With the federal government's consent. And so what I'm saying is, since these congressmen want to wake you up to something, why don't they inform you of something going to do you some good? Matter of fact, what they should do is release that real cigarette report. See, the report they released that scared a few of you, that was the compromise report. If they released the real one, then you wouldn't have no trouble quit smoking. No, you quit smoking in a hurry if you knew what cigarettes was really doing to you. The Russians released the real report. That's why a lot of you read that 80% of the Russians quit smoking overnight and you think that's because they stronger. No, they wasn't no stronger. Shit, you'd have quit too if you'd have got the real report. And understand, I could not sit here and lie to you about coffee causing cancer or what really tobacco's doing to you without going to jail, because they have federal laws against crossing state lines and telling lies on products that's on interstate commerce. Don't think you can go from one state to another lying about coffee causing cancer without going to jail. And as bad as they love to put me in jail, you can damn sure bet you if coffee didn't cause cancer in your belly, they'd have had my ass in jail a long time ago. That's right. Many times they put me in jail for nothing. You know, they love something. That's right. The real report that was never released on cigarettes, and again, I say if I was lying to you crossing state lines, well, you know how bad the cigarette industry hung up. They'd bust me in the morning. But the real report was that you never heard was that the most detrimental effect of cigarettes is... It destroys the sex glands. That's right. That's right. Now, you're not going to believe me, which is hip, you know. But if that real report would have got out like it should have gotten out, you'd have quit. Matter of fact, tobacco do not cause cancer. That's right. As a matter of fact, have you ever heard those late night talk shows where they have these guests on the shows and they be talking to these folks that can quit smoking, some of them? Says, well, how long have you been off cigarettes? Say, well, I quit about 2 years ago. Say, well, how do you feel? Say, well, my appetite's increased. You just thought they was talking about food, didn't you? Mm-hmm. No, tobacco. Have you ever heard the tobacco industry, when they come up with their report, you hear the tobacco industry keep saying tobacco do not cause cancer? You ever heard that? They're not lying. Don't get me wrong now. The cigarettes you smoke in this country cause cancer. But tobacco don't cause cancer. You see, have you ever been around anybody that smoked Bull Durn? Dig it. If you're around, you see anybody smoke Bull Durn, whenever you light up a Bull Durn and you sit it in the ashtray and don't puff on it, it goes out. Did you know that? And anytime you get ready to smoke it, you got to relight it. You ever been around anybody smoke a pipe? If you're not puffing on a pipe, it goes out. It is normal for tobacco to go out if you're not puffing on it. These sick, slimy, degenerate, money-hungry freaks in this country wanted to make so much money, they add chemicals to the tobacco and chemicals to the paper to make it burn when you're not puffing on it, and it's those chemicals that they add to the paper and to the tobacco which is giving you cancer of your chest, baby. It's not the tobacco that's doing it. And with all of the poisons that they put in the paper and the tobacco that's causing cancer, that is minor compared to the number one detrimental effect to the human body that nicotine is doing, and that is it deteriorates the sex organs. That's the number one problem. And only in America could they have a money system where them freaks could get into the Senate and the Congress and come up with enough dough that even when they was forced to give a report, they end up giving a compromise report. So I say to you youngsters, since these congressmen want to wake you up to so much, why don't they really pull your coat to something that's going to do you some good? Why don't they go down one night in Washington, D.C. when everybody sleeps, since they have no regards for the law? Why don't they go down to the building where the archives is kept and kick the hinges off the door and go in there and get them John Kennedy files? And get on nationwide television and explain to you Americans why those assassination files can't be released for 100 years. I'm sure you Americans would be much better off knowing that the CIA was responsible for the assassination of your president than knowing who your radical speakers are. You youngsters got a big job. Just keep your eye on that political arena, and you see it. Because I'm so glad Nixon's the president. Now, let me be honest. I could never vote for Nixon. But I'm so glad he's the president, I don't know what to do. I don't know nobody else on the face of this earth I'd rather see your president than Dick Nixon. You see, you could just look at Nixon when he was campaigning and know if Nixon ever got to be president of the United States, he was going to put a hurting on white folks. I don't have to stand here and tell you, you know, white folks is hurting more today than ever before in the history of this country because of Dick Nixon. I ain't seen white folks crying in my life like they crying today. I got on the plane this morning. On my way to my seat, this old white cat sitting down and look at me and say, can I talk with you, my brother? I say, yo, what? And things got so bad, I'm your brother now. When everything was all right, I was the nigger in the coon. But it didn't get so messed up now, I'm the brother. So I looked at him, I said, yeah, what's happening, my man? He said, they're really messing it up for all of us. I said, who, the Black Panthers? He said, no, Nixon and them. I said, oh, that's white folks' business. He said, he's messing with the money, that's black folks' business too. I said, the money, any money we ain't got, y'all can't get. He said, but I was reading in the Wall Street Journal this morning, said the way things going look like we headed back to another depression. I said, y'all might be. We never came out the last one. He said, but they messing with the money. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, for 1972 get here, that solid majority gonna be the most vocal group you ever heard. One day them hard hat construction workers was out jumping on peaceniks for Dick Nixon, and the next day Nixon and upset them so bad they an hour or 10 days ago throwing snowballs at him and his old lady. I mean Mrs. Nixon, I shouldn't call her old lady. She ain't that hip. Yeah, it's, y'all have to excuse me. See, I do that every now and then. And don't y'all get uptight. It's for whoever the federal government got in here running the tape on what I say. That sometime when I just be... And y'all be laughing, they be scared to turn the tape in because the boss think they missed something. See? Well, like I said, I'm so glad Nixon's the president. I don't know nobody alive today on the face of the earth would have became president of the United States and messed with the jolly green Jesus like Nixon did. Oh, yeah, you know who your God is in this country. It's your money. Now, you can play games with yourself with a church on every corner and make yourself believe, but the whole world's hip to who your God is. Yeah, that damn Air Force go all over the world, bum every church on the face of this earth, drop napalm on women and kids. That don't upset us. You let them freaks bum Fort Knox, we would be outraged. Now, matter of fact, if you believe that something else in this country is your God other than your money, I ask you next Sunday morning, walk into your favorite church, and before you go in, take out a piece of good old American folding money and hold it next to your church and see which one has inscribed on it, "In God We Trust." Your money or your church? I've always wondered what's inside the church other than God that they got to lock them up every night so I can't steal it. Yeah, we love money. You know, this is the only country in the world that you could kill your mother, get you a good lawyer, walk into an American courtroom and plead temporary insanity, and you damn near beat the case every time. That's right, but I tell you what you better not do. You better not forge a check and get caught and get you a good lawyer and go into an American courtroom and try to plead temporary insanity. No, you kill your mama, you might be crazy. But you forge, you mess with the money, you got a whole lot of sins for it. And we love the money. Do you know there ain't too many countries in the world like America? In this country tonight, you can slip in some old woman's house and take a poker and hit her in the head and kill her and rob her and get a nickel. You know, tomorrow morning when Americans find out you kill that old woman over a nickel, this country be outraged. Kill that old woman over a nickel. They ought not even give him a trial. The electric chair is too good for him. That's right. You slip in that same woman's house tonight and hit her in the head with a poker and kill her and rob her and get $10 million. Tomorrow morning when everybody in this country find out about it, you can hear them now. She had no business with that kind of money around the house. You youngsters got a big job. Yeah, we old fools have left you a lot of mess to clean up. And that's what black folks is talking about today in America. That so few people seem to understand. And what black folks really don't understand in America today is white folks' reaction to us. We just don't understand. It's all once white folks just say this accused niggas are going crazy. What's wrong with them? Why are they acting the way they act? And we really don't understand white folks. We understand everything white folks do in this country, but we don't understand your reaction. That really got us baffled. I mean, any old fool knows that this country is a racist country that oppresses folks. And black folks in America today is reacting to racism and oppression. And all at once, just people just think we can go on crazy. Now, I can understand white folks getting upset if we were saying to white Americans, you can't be a racist no more. I don't blame you. I'd be upset, too, if I'd been something that long. Somebody tell me I can't do it no more. I can understand America getting upset if we told America, you can't oppress folks no more. We have not said to white Americans, they cannot be racist, and have not said to America, she can't oppress folks. All we're saying is we're going to react to racism and oppression. That's all. And in our course of reacting to it, everybody seemed to be uptight. And that we don't understand. You know, like if you run up here tonight and cut my wrist, I might not do nothing back to you. But my God, don't get upset because I'm bleeding on your rugs. I don't know what's wrong with them niggas. Every time you cut them, they just bleed on your rug. I guess what done happened a lot in this country, a lot of white folks done played that nigger game too long. Long as they was calling me nigger and coon and I was believing it, that was a mellow shot. But now a lot of white folks done start believing I'm the nigger and I'm the coon, and that's where they're getting in trouble. You see, a lot of white folks fail to realize that the same universal intelligence bank that put white folks' head together also put black folks' head together. And it's my universal intelligence I have that's making me react to the insults. Not your racism, your insults. You know how insulting it is when I go to bed at night sometime and get to thinking, had a German killed my father during World War II? Had a German killed my father in 1942, I was just 10 years old then. I'm 38 years old now. It means I would have gone 28 years without a daddy, which is no insult, because when daddies go to war, they go to kill or be killed. The insult is the same German that could have killed my father in 1942 and made me go 28 years without a daddy, that same German tonight you would permit to come to my daddy's country and live in a neighborhood you never permit my daddy's boy in. We say to you, you got to be sick, insane, and out of your damn mind. No, it's not your racism that bothered us. It's your insanity we're reacting to. Angela Davis is in jail tonight. I do not believe Angela Davis is in jail because she's black. Just check man's history. You find out in the history of man, anytime honest, ethical folks decide to challenge sick, tired, insane, degenerate governments, they won't only put you in jail, they'll kill you too, and it don't make no difference what color you are. And so I say, I don't believe Angela's in jail because she's black. And putting her in jail didn't insult me, not just because she's in jail. The insulting thing about Angela Davis is that this federal government having invited 11 white Russians over here to sit in on the Angela Davis trial. Dig it, baby. We've invited 11 white Russians, but no black folks. You understand your madness? You invite 11 white funky Russians Understand it good, baby. Them Russians don't give a damn about you white folks in America or your form of life or your form of government. And Khrushchev and already told you the sooner they could bury your ass, the happier they would be. But in spite the way them white folks in Russia feel about you, you still relate with whiteness. So 11 white Russians have received invitation to come to America for the Angela Davis trial. And you know what? You know if those white Russians take you up on that deal, do you know you'd never search them 11 white Russians every morning going in that courtroom like they would search me every morning? And I'll never say my ethics is any higher than any man on the face of this earth, but my ethics is as high as any man walking the face of this earth. That's all right. But them Russians, just because they white, they can come over here. And if they decide they want to stay for the whole trial and they don't want to live in a hotel, they want to live in the community, they wouldn't have no trouble finding lodging in the community and neighborhoods where I would be afraid to walk after the sun goes down. We're talking about your insanity. We're talking about your insults. Now, California has a law, which Angela was arrested under, and I don't know enough about law to know if it's legitimate or not. It says that if you commit a crime, and in any way, if you use a weapon or a vehicle or anything that anybody else was involved with, they also equally as guilty for that crime. They didn't even have to be there. And so that law is what they use in California to arrest Angela Davis. Now, the insult to me is that I don't know enough about law, but I have enough universal wisdom in my head to know that Sirhan Sirhan was apprehended, arrested, indicted, and convicted for the assassination murder of Bobby Kennedy in the state of California. During the Sirhan Sirhan trial, it was brought out that three other people was involved in the gun that was used to assassinate Bobby Kennedy. But to this day in the state of California, no one has been arrested and convicted for murder but Sirhan Sirhan. So we saying we tired of these insults, and this is all we doing is reacting to them. You realize in every black community in America today, the police patrol our black community with double barrel shotguns. Listen to me good now. Double barrel shotguns was outlawed in the Geneva Convention as a weapon of war. Too inhumane. A weapon that would never be permitted to be used in your most vicious wars against your so-called most vicious enemy, because they've been deemed too inhumane, is used against black folks every day in this country by the police forces. And you are insane enough to ask me to respect the man that would use a weapon on me that he would not be permitted to be used on the front line of battle. You got to be out of your mind. And so we're saying we're tired of these insults. Civil rights legislation, that ain't nothing but a damn insult. White folks are going to get their rights under the United States Constitution, and I'm going to get mine under some old civil rights bill. And then you tell me you don't like separatism? Give me my damn rights on no installment plan. Well, you're doing better now than you ever did. Nobody want to hear all that old noise. But you trying to tell me for 100 years a man's changed my dollar for 32 cents and now today he giving me 64 cents? People telling me I'm doing better today? No. 100 years ago, I couldn't count. Today, I can count. Damn, 64 cents. I want a full dollar's change for a dollar, or this cash register will never, ever ring again. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when you read that civil rights legislation, it gets even more insulting. Read that 1964 Federal Public Accommodations Bill that says black folks have a right to sleep in any motel, sleep in any hotel. Black folks have a right to eat in any restaurant. But when it came to bars and taverns, they left that out. Now, why wasn't I covered under bars and taverns in the public accommodation? You think they left it out because they know how detriment alcohol is on the human body, and they didn't want black folks to get caught in that alcohol trick? No. The insult, the reason I wasn't covered in the public accommodations bill on the bars and taverns is because that white lady goes into that bar and that tavern. And there's a lot of sick white folks in America that's sick enough to believe that once that white woman gets two shots of alcohol in her belly, she wants to give me her body. And so we say to white America, if that's the way you feel about your white sister, why in the hell you make a law to keep that broad out the tavern and leave me alone? That's what we're talking about. We're tired of these insults. Now I got white folks coming to us saying, what do y'all want us to call y'all? Negro, or colored, or black? Say, well, you can call us anything you want to call us. We just saying it's safer to use the word black. We don't mean putting no white folks in no imposition or nothing like that. We just looked around at white folks in America and we noticed you white folks have little tag names of identification y'all call one another. And it's a very interesting thing because if you take the tag name, you can run it all the way back to a piece of land. That's right. The little tag names white folks call one another that just stretch it back to a piece of land. And it's really clever. German. Germany. Ain't that clever? Italian. Italy. Ain't that here? Let's try one. Irishman. Ireland. Negro. That's what we're talking about, and why is that so hard for people to understand? Negro don't do nothing but take me back to some old sharecropper's shack. So I say, call me black, and for nothing else, I can relate with nighttime. And so we're tired of these insults. We're talking about the inconsistencies. That's what we don't understand in this country is the inconsistencies. George Wallace came up north on election day and got so many northern white folks to vote for him, they blamed him on us. They didn't blame it on racism. Said it was black folks' behavior pattern that created a backlash. What? You ain't seen nothing yet before Nixon get through which in 72, you gonna blame Nixon on us. Oh, I can just see it now. You niggas hadn't made us scared us, we wouldn't have voted for him. It's the inconsistencies we're talking about. Inconsistencies of the way you fight wars in America now. That's a hell of a thing. It really caught me by surprise last month, that I didn't ever realize that as long as you just take your Air Force to another man's land and bum the hell out of them, as long as you don't use no ground troops, that's not considered as an invasion. Yeah, that's right. You take your mighty Air Force and bum the hell out of him, that's legal. And you know, I didn't know how hip the Japanese was back in 1941. That's right. They didn't use no ground troops in Pearl Harbor. They came with the Air Force and bombed the hell out of Pearl Harbor, and old dumb, stupid Americans thought they was invading and declared war. And we're talking about your inconsistencies. About the inconsistencies of World War II. World War II, we was fighting the Japanese and the Germans. We had Japanese citizens living in America. We had German citizens living in America. We arrested all the Japanese citizens in America, but not the German citizens in America. We believe we arrested the Japanese because they were not white. We believe the Germans didn't get arrested because they were right. We believe the Japanese went to concentration camps because this is a racist country. Now, we might be wrong. We developed an atom bomb at the University of Chicago long before the Germans had surrendered, but we held that bomb up till the Germans had surrendered and dropped it on the Japanese. We believe we dropped that nuclear bomb on the Japanese because this is a racist country. Now, we might be wrong. I just hope the Japanese don't feel the same way about that bomb that I feel about that bomb, because as hip as they are on electronics today, they just might decide to get even. But just in case, I still wouldn't buy a Sony television. Honey, you ought to come by my house and see my brand new Sony. Why, the picture is so clear and the color is so beautiful. Of course, the dog died. And we're talking about the inconsistencies. We're talking about the inconsistencies of Muhammad Ali. I'm sorry, I mean Cassius Clay. I forgot. We can't remember Muhammad Ali. Huh. I bet if he'd have changed his name to a good nigger name like Jabbo Jones, I bet you'd remember that. We're talking about the inconsistencies. Talking about the inconsistency of Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali became heavyweight champ of the world. He lived in Louisville, Kentucky at the time. His boxing contract was owned by 11 white multi-millionaire businessmen of Louisville. One day, Muhammad Ali received his induction notice. Happily, he went down to the induction center in Louisville, Kentucky. They examined him, found him to be 4F. Nobody in America got upset. Nobody accused him of being disloyal. Nobody accused him of being unpatriotic. Matter of fact, nobody even questioned how the heavyweight champ of the world could be unfit to fight. One day, Muhammad Ali's contract ended with 11 white businessmen in Louisville. And instead of him renewing his contract with the white businessmen in Louisville, he signed a new contract with some black businessmen in Chicago. Talking about your inconsistencies. The Louisville draft board asked him to come back to be reexamined. They found him to be 1A. The inconsistencies we're uptight about. How is it as long as the white folks owned his contract, he didn't have to get involved with your military? But the minute the black folks own this contract, it's a different story. That's what we're talking about. We tired. The inconsistencies. The inconsistencies of so many Americans that's so concerned over the American prisoners in North Vietnam. Get me wrong, I think we should be concerned about them boys. But your inconsistencies, how in the hell can you Americans be so concerned about some American prisoners in Vietnam, and yet all of these Vietnamese war veterans that's coming back home laying up in these VA hospitals all chopped up and going unattended, nobody in America seems to give a damn about them. Are you out of your mind? You've been looking at these television specials and these periodicals they've been doing, going to these VA hospitals, and hundreds of thousands of Americans, no arms, no legs, and they interviewing them saying, how often do you get fed? Say, about once every 3 days. Why? There's not enough help. How often do you get your stool changed? Maybe once a week? Dig it, baby. You're so damn concerned about some American prisoners in Vietnam, but your American boys that went to your war and got all chopped up for you, you don't give a damn about them. Your inconsistency. We talking about? Yeah. These old sick, slimy, degenerate American Legion. They can't do nothing but get drunk all the time and hold conventions and parades. Mm-hmm. Why don't the American Legion stop drinking for a few minutes and stop having parades long enough to raise enough hell across this country? See to it that we'll start taking care of them veterans is laying up in them hospitals all chopped up and going unattended. A big job. You know, the biggest surprise I ever had in my life was last summer. Last summer, the first time in my life I went to Africa. Boy, the biggest surprise I ever had. And I went to Africa. You talk about super black. Jim, I had my natural together, and my dashiki was laying there, Jim, and I got with some black dudes, and they taught me all the latest handshake through the legs, under the legs, round the back. I had my black thing together, baby. When I got off that big jet in Africa, biggest surprise I ever had in my life. I go all the way to Africa and get around black folks for the first time in my life, only to find out I'm a white boy. That's right. I have no black hang-ups. Oh, my hang-ups are white. Yeah, you don't know that till you get around real black folks. And a lot of you young black dudes that think all it takes to be black is get a nappy head, a hair, and a dashiki, and ball up your fists and talk dirty to whitey, it's more to being black than that, but you got to go home to find out, baby. Yeah, I go all the way to Africa to find out I ain't nothing but a chocolate-covered white boy. That's right, I ain't got no black hang-ups. Oh, my hang-ups are white. Yeah, you see, in Africa, they have no homosexuality. So consequently, the men walk down the street holding one another's hand. Now, I don't have to tell you what went through my mind every time one of them men grabbed my hand, do it. Woo! I said, boy, I sure hope the boys back home don't see this. No, I ain't got no black hang-ups. All my hang-ups are white. And I tell you something else, you better not never go to Africa and put your hand or your mouth on a woman's titty. Oh, you can ooh if you want, sister, but let me tell you something. No honest, ethical, normal, civilized human being would ever use a woman's breast for anything else other than to feed nature's new life, baby. Only sick, slimy, insane, unhuman beasts would ever use a woman's breast as a sex hang-up. So I say, best, I better get on home where all my hang-ups is legal. Yeah, that's right. So I'm back here with you now. And I ain't going nowhere. All that old nigga go home shit, don't tell that to me no more. I went all the way to Africa and found out this is my home. Yeah, this is where my head belongs. I don't know nothing about black folks. No, I had to go all the way around black folks to find out inside my head I'm just as white as you is. And until I can get me some black hang-ups, I ain't never going around black folks no more. Don't do nothing but end up embarrassing myself. Everything I thought was right was wrong. Say, you youngsters, you got a big job. You haven't got much time. We old folks left you youngsters a lot of problems to solve. And let me say to you young folks in America tonight, you don't solve problems by dealing with the problem. You solve problems by dealing with the cause. We got a problem with the police structure in this country today. You're not going to solve the problem of the police by dealing with the police. You got to go all the way back and deal with the cause. And once you deal with the cause, the problem's easy to solve. The two most important people in any society, particularly democratic society, is the fireman and the cop. Irregardless of what you feel about it, those are the two most important people in any society. Matter of fact, we tell the fireman and the cop in America he's so important, we tell them they can't even strike. And everybody else can. The garbage collector can strike. The shoe repair man can strike. The milkman can strike. And when the fireman and the cop get ready to send his kids to college, we charge them the same thing we charge the garbage collector's son and the shoe repair man's son and the milkman's son who could strike. Yeah, you treat a man like a dog, he'll bark for you one day. Treat him like a pig, he'll honk on you one night. You youngsters got a big job. One day we're going to have to see in America, see to it that the firemen and the police will always be overpaid since they can't strike just to make sure we'll never be guilty of having them underpaid. That's your job. Well, I've been in some cities and towns, they didn't have nothing but a volunteer fire department, volunteer police force. I asked them, I said, how come you don't pay your firemen and your cops? I said, town too small. I ain't never been in a town too small to burn. I ain't never been in a town too small to get the First National Bank stuck up. Youngsters got a big job. You youngsters got to see to it we get federal legislation on the books that say if a cop or a fireman gets killed in the line of duty, his wife, family, and loved ones automatically from the federal government receives $25,000 to $50,000. That ain't no big thing. That's your job. You youngsters got to see to it we get federal legislation say if a cop gets killed in the line of duty, that automatically becomes a federal crime, and we need legislation to say if the cop kills wrongly in the line of duty, that becomes a federal crime also. I say to you youngsters in America today, all the problems confronting America, you are going to have to solve. So you might as well get ready to deal with them, baby. We old folks left you a mess to clean up. And when you get ready to deal with the problems, we gonna ridicule you. Yeah, that's right. We made the problems, couldn't solve them. And when you talk about solving, that's what happened with black folks. And we trying to solve our own problems that we didn't create. Everybody bad-mouthing us now. We talking about controlling the black community and white folks running around accusing us of being separatists. That just show you how mad this country is. Yeah, we've been separate in this country for 400 years. Now all at once, white folk gonna blame us for separatism. Yeah, just act like 2 years ago in America, just black folks and white folks were just living next door to one another and going to school. And 2 years ago, black folks got mad, say, damn you whitey, and we all moved into a black ghetto by ourselves. Now we got white folks in America accusing us of being separatists. And I say to America tonight, since separatism upsets you so bad, how come you got that Indian still locked up on that reservation? You can't get no more separate than that. Separatism don't bother Americans as long as they causing it. Yeah, you want to get that Indian off that reservation by tomorrow night? That's simple. Let that Indian get on television tomorrow morning and hold a press conference. Let that Indian say, me like reservation. Don't want no more white folks on reservation. By tomorrow afternoon, you'd have your army up there and be ran him off by tomorrow night. No, it's okay as long as you doing it. You ever see a television show called The Dating Game? Whenever they bring a black contestant on that show, the three guests just happen to be black. That don't bother nobody in America. That's your system doing it. I tell you what would bother Americans. You let me go on that show next week, and you find out I refused to work it because they had a white woman on it, and I demanded three soul, black soul sisters. You never would hear the end of it. As long as you doing it, it's okay. Black man can't drive a railroad train in America. Don't nobody get upset over that. And as dumb as some white folks think niggas is, you don't need too much intelligence to drive a damn railroad train. All you got to do is just follow the damn tracks. We're talking about controlling the black community. Dig it now. We ain't talking about controlling the white community. We say give us black cops in the black community. And everybody accuses that is separatism. You call it what you want. We call it being smart. And we got some white folks say, oh, we know why you want black cops in the black community. Because of police brutality. Most of you white folks don't even know what we call brutality. Y'all think it's the whooping, don't you? Can't be the whooping, because up until just recently, the average black cop in the black community was equally as brutal, if not more brutal, than the white cop was. Not only did the black cat whoop you, he knew where to hit. Yeah. And I'm a kid running through the black ghetto, white cop jump out of the squad car and hit me across the head with the nightstick, damn near break the stick every time. Black cop jump out the squad car and hit me dead across my bad feet, my coins. Whomp! Woo! That's right, that's the worst thing black cat got. That's right, this damn country had us on our feet for 400 years. Messed up our feet so bad, we all back on our heels. Niggas walking all over on the side of his ankles. And you white folks see and say, ain't they cool? They sure got rhythm, ain't they? Shit. Rhythm my ass. We say give us black cops in the black community. At least when that black cop knocking me down and whooping me, he ain't calling me no nigger. I say give me a black cop in the black community. At least when that black cop pull my automobile over for a moving violation, he do not refer to my wife as gal. I say give me a black cop in the black community. So when I'm driving down the street with my light-complected black sister in the car, the black cop know that's my sister and don't take me through no bullshit changes like the white cop do thinking that's a white woman. That's what we're talking about. You know how insulting that is to be driving down the street with a light-complected black woman in the car and a white racist cop thinking that's a white woman pulls you over and start taking you through a whole lot of old bullshit changes, man. You know how insulting that is? That's really insulting to me. Because, you know, I try to behave myself in the system. White man told me he don't want to see no niggas with that white lady, so I behave. You can have that white, you put that broad up on the moon if you want to. If that's the way you feel about her, I don't never need to have her. But at least when I'm with my light-complected black sister, I don't intend for that white cop to take me through a whole lot of changes because he think it's a white woman. You know how insulting that is? I got to go through all them insulting changes with my black sister in the car just because that cop's great-great-grandpa didn't have enough decency to keep his ass out the slave tent. And that's how we got this light now. You know, white folks in America bullshit they say they want to blame raping on niggas. Them niggas rape you. Trying to justify how we got this color. Yeah, well, I don't have to tell you how we got. You know damn good and well the slave wasn't raping Damaso's wife. You would like to believe that. I just see that slave now walk up and say, come here, Ann. Yes, Mr. Slave. You know what I want, girl? I sure do. Come on. You know, now white folks run around believing every nigga won't rape them. I was in New York last week and got on the elevator in the Penny Building on the 40th floor by myself and stopped at the 39th floor and an old, wrinkled, 90-year-old white woman got on the elevator and looked at me. Oh! I say, shit. No, I heard a wishful thinking. We're talking about controlling the black community. It's very important to us. See, we just found out something lately we didn't know. They've been giving tests across this country in the black community lately. They've been asking 5-year-old black kids in the ghetto to take a test. And the test is a simple test. They ask them to draw a picture of themselves. And 9 times out of 10, them little kids draw an animal. A system so vicious and so insane that a 5-year-old black kid in a black ghetto has his mind so turned around that when you asked him at 5 years old to draw a picture of himself, he draws an animal. We're saying we're going to control that black ghetto. We're going to control that black ghetto, so there's going to come a time in this country that you'll ask a little 5-year-old black kid to draw a picture of himself, and the only reason that picture won't look like him be because he can't draw. Very important to us. Controlling the black community. You ever, I guess you have. You seen a picture of Beulah, haven't you? Seen a picture of Angel Mammy? Seen a picture of Uncle Ben? Dig it now, because if you understand that, you'll understand why we're talking about controlling the black community. And those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, please go to the supermarket and get 3 products. One with Beulah on it, one with Angel Mammy on it, one with Uncle Ben on it. And look at it real good, and then you'll understand what we're talking about. Why are we talking about controlling the black community? You know Uncle Ben got on a tuxedo? You know Uncle Ben got on a bow tie? Do you know Uncle Ben ain't fat? You think it's an accident you made my man look better than my 2 women? We notice you've never used a fat, out-of-shape, hillbilly white woman to advertise nothing for you. Why do you insist on taking them liberties with me? That's what we're talking about. I came up in the black ghetto. Everything I seen around me was black until you got ready to run them heroes in on me, and all my heroes was white. Buck Jones, Tim McCord, the Long Ranger, Alan Ladd, Humphrey Bogart, Clark Gable, Liz Taylor, Marilyn Monroe, Ava Gardner. Matter of fact, in my black ghetto, I never did see no white ladies till I went to the movie. Then when I went to the movies, all I was looking at was Ava Gardner and Marilyn Monroe and Liz. Matter of fact, I was so old before I saw my first ugly white woman, I didn't know what it was. Scared me to death. Scared me to death. That's right. I'm walking down the street one day, I said, "Woo, what's that? Look at that. Woo!" That's right. Just so happened the friend I was with, he was cool. He knew it's all cool it, man. That's a white lady. I said, "No, man, she don't look like Liz Taylor." He said, "Most of them don't." Oh, yeah, you really had my mind messed up. I'm 14 years old walking down the street believing I'm Clark Gable. Yeah, you should have seen me walking down the street, funky tennis on, old raggedy t-shirt, talking about I'm the Gable, baby. Niggas used to think I was crazy. Yeah, I'm the Gable, baby. Matter of fact, if you call me by my name, I might have not answered. Cat said, "Come here, Gabe." I hurried up, yeah. Yeah, Gabe was my man, Jim. That was my idol, Jim. That's all you ever showed me was white heroes. I used to love to catch Gable, Jim. He being one of them dynamite love scenes, Jim, where he looking that broad in the eyes, Jim. And he talking dynamite talk to her, Jim. And just when he get ready to lay that thing, Jim, and really talk that heavy talk, Jim, one of them little curly locks fall down in his eyes. And he never missed a breath. He just turned his head around something like that and flipped that lock on back up, Jim. As my man, Jim. Yeah, you should have seen me with my lady in the park one day looking down in her face trying to flip a nap back. Talking about the Gable, baby. Yeah, I was, boy, I'm telling you, this country really messed up my head. One day, I'm 15 years old. They got me a heavy date. I can't get there till late, though, because my bread's short. You know, when your bread is short, the later you get there, the less places you can go, because most of them close. See? I used to kind of like to get there in time just to catch the last feature when they closed up the popcorn machine and the hot dog. Be sitting in the movie, I sure am hungry. Wish we'd got here a little earlier. I said, shit, you was hungry when you left the house. You had to pass your icebox to get out the house. Why didn't you grab a little something? Since you knew you was hungry, hell, you could have grabbed a little something for me, too. See, that's okay, dear. We'll eat after the movies. I'll be damned. You going home after the movies, though. You got to pass that icebox to get in bed. Oh, this one night I had this heavy date, you know. And really, I used to mess up my head and believe I was Clark Gable. So I'm stalling for time to pass because my bread was short. And then it gets about that time, so I say, I guess I'll go on by and pick up my lady. So I tip on by a house the way Gable would have tipped, yeah. I tip on up the steps, him. I knock on the door the way Gable would have knocked. I stand there to wait for her to greet the Gable. She come to the door and say, nigga, where you been? I was like Gable, I was cool. I looked in her eye, Jim, I didn't flinch. I said, why? She goes, boy, next time you come out of his house this late, nigga, I ain't going nowhere with you. I said, frankly, my dear. I don't give a damn. Yeah, can't really mess my head up, man. Say to you youngsters tonight, you got a big job. I beg you young folks in America to understand this country. That's what the problem is. So few of us understand America. Oh, a lot of people in this country got upset over Kent University. A lot of folks got upset over Jackson, Mississippi. If you understood America, Kent University wouldn't have upset you too much. Yeah, get you a history book and read about the founding fathers. See who those cats was. Read about those Puritan pilgrims. Yeah, your history book runs it down, tell you who they was. Say there's a bunch of hoodlum, gangster criminals. Yeah, it tells you the king and queen let them freaks out of them jails and them dungeons and put them on that big ship knowing it wasn't going to make the trip. And it surprised everybody it made it. Yeah, read about the founding fathers and nothing will surprise you if you knew who they was. Here it is. It says, they came to these shores and discovered a country that was already occupied. How do you discover something that somebody else owns without being a gangster? That's like I walk out of here tonight and you and your lady sitting in your brand new automobile. I say, gee, that sure is a beautiful automobile. Think I'll discover it. And I drive back to Chicago and show it to my wife and kids. Say, look at this beautiful car I discovered. They say, well, sure, it's pretty, Dad. Was anybody in it? I said, yeah, it was a car full of folks. Say, well, what'd you do with the people? Say, oh, I have them happily living up on a reservation. Yeah, you read about them founding fathers, Jim, and nothing will surprise you. Say, they landed at the Plymouth Rock and shot and murdered their way all the way across to California. Yeah. And they killed four kids at Kent University, and you surprised? You better read about that trail of blood they left. You don't know what a bunch of hoodlums, a bunch of sick, weird, degenerate freaks. These cats were so weird when they come to this country. Don't take my word for it. Check the annals of history. Check the anthropology books. And you'll notice that man's behavior pattern down through the years never differed too much from one man to another until you got to the American man. It's the first time in the history of the world cat created a wild, woolly West. As sick as the Romans was, yeah. Nobody never became a cowboy till we got to America. That's right. Don't check my word. Check you right here in the school. Got a lot of books. Check and see if you could ever find a cowboy in the history of man till we got to America. Realize how sick a cat got to be to put one of them big old wide hats on his head and strap two guns to his belly and put on them old toe-pinching shoes talking about, I'm a cowboy, man. I represent law and order. And America still has a cowboy mentality. Yeah, the number one television show in the land for the last 15 years has been Matt Dillon. Yeah, once a week, that sick, perverted pimp rides through your living room. Shacking up with Kitty. Yes, cat was so messed up in his head, he had to become a cowboy and kill one another for physical therapy. One day, the cowboys had a big meeting. Say, we got a problem. Say, what's the problem, hombre? Say, we killing up one another. Say, well, cowboy can't be cowboy unless we killing somebody. Say, well, we're going to get somebody else to kill. He said, are we who? He said, that's not important. He said, the important thing is we come up with a master plan. We got a name of what we're going to call whoever we get to kill. He said, well, what are we going to call them? He said, we're going to call them Injuns. The mighty game of cowboy and Injun. They still play the game now. Any of you see a movie? Raise your hand, those of you in the house that saw a movie called Easy Rider. Yeah, Easy Rider. Did you know that was cowboy and Indian at the tail end? And those of you that missed it, go back and see it again. Look at the end of it. It's cowboy and Indian. Just take them racist redneck crackers out the big pickup truck. Take that double barrel shotgun out their hands and put two pearl handle six shooters on them on their side and sit in the pickup truck, put them up on the big stallion. And take them little young, innocent white kids off the motorbike and put them on the little frail horse and paint them red and put the feather in their cap. And that's cowboy and Indian, baby. I say, well, who are we going to get to be the Indian? Say, we tell that red boy to come here. Come here, red boy. Say, yeah, what you want, Kimosabe? Say, you the Indian, boy. Say, the engine, what's that? So you find out, take that gun and run for the hills. Red man became a pretty good little old engine until he got hip to what was going down. And he hurried up back to the great white father's mansion, knocked on the door. Great white father came, looked out the door, and said, yeah, what do you want, red boy? And me just come to tell you, me no more be your engine no more. Say, what? You red-faced, moccasin-wearing freak, who in the... The great white father, you call me all the names you want to call me, and he's still not going to be your engine no more. Well, rather than the cowboy being outdone, he says, I know why you want to quit. You found out that the cowboy got too much manhood for you, huh, boy? Red man said, great white father, your manhood's never bothered us. We checked that out the first day you landed at the Plymouth Rock. Say, well, you got to admit we some mean hombres. We killed too good for you. Great white father, we admit you are mean and you do kill good, but that didn't surprise us. I mean, we kind of expected it out of you.
rape our women, kill our kids, and burn our village down. That didn't surprise us. Cowboy said,
oh, come on. You know we surprised you with something. That's why you want to quit.
Says, we admit you did surprise us with something, but your killing didn't surprise us. Raping our women and killing our kids and burning our village down didn't surprise us, great white father. What surprised us is after you finished doing all those vicious things to us, then you go all over the world and try to convince people that red man is the savage.
No, we not gonna be your engine no more.
Say, okay, red boy, you don't want to be the engine no more. We put you up on the reservation, kill you anyway.
Red man said, great white father, don't tell me about your hang-ups no more. Do whatever you feel you have to do to us. All we saying is, whatever you do to us from this day on, remember you're doing to a red man and not to your engine.
Red man rolled off the reservation. Oh, great white father had all his tricks working. Everything was working together. Everything was groovy except one thing.
That's right.
No engine. Great white father started getting uptight. He held a big meeting in the mansion. Said, we got to get us an engine today. Cowboy can't be cowboy without somebody to kill. So I don't know who we're going to get. We went up on the reservation. He ain't coming. Say, damn him. Get somebody else. Say, who? Say, who? Tell that Jew to come here. Come here, Jew boy. Yeah, what do you want? You the engine.
What?
We the merchants.
Damn you, Jew. Say, you the engine, boy.
Yeah, well, what's that? So you find out. Take that gun and run for the hills.
The Jew made a pretty good little old engine.
Yeah, it didn't take him long to get hip. Well, Jew's always had some smarts. He ain't never been nobody's fool. Matter of fact, Jew's so hip, he damn near found out what was going down before he left.
He hurried back to the great white father's mansion, knocked on the door. Great white father came to the door, looked out the window. Say, yeah? What do you want? I'm here.
We just had a meeting in the temple.
Say, so what?
Say, so what? We decided we're not going to be your engine no more. That's what.
Say, okay, Jew. You don't want to be the engine no more. You have to do something for us. What do you want to do?
Jew say, I don't know. We'll think about it. Great white father say, okay, Jew. While you be thinking about it, we'll be watching you. Do you know to this very day the Jew is still thinking about it? And the great white father is still watching him.
Well, all his tricks was working. Everything was mellow. Everything was together except one thing.
That's right. No engine.
Matter of fact, he'd gone longer than he'd gone without an engine. 3 weeks, 4 days. Oh, he's really getting uptight now. He got to shooting at his wife and stomping at his kids. Again, great white father held big meeting in the mansion. Said, we got to get an engine today. Can't go another day without an engine. Say, who we going to get? They look down in the valley. Who's there? They get that Irishman. Say, oh, no, not that Bigfoot clob-hopping freak. Say, better him than my wife. Come here, Irishman.
Yeah, what you want?
You the engine, boy. Say, to who? What that? Say, you find out. Take that gun and run for the hills. The Irishman made a pretty good little engine until he got hip to what was going down. He hurried up back to the village, knocked on the great white father's door.
Great white father came to the door, looked out, said, yeah, what you want, Irishman?
They just come to tell you we ain't gonna be your engine no more.
I said, you dumb freak, who you been talking to? Them damn Jews.
Said, okay, Irishman, you don't want to be the engine no more. You have to do something for us. What you want to do?
Irishman thought about it for a while. Said, we'll be your police.
Say, you dumb freak, you police. You too dumb to be the police. Who in the hell ever heard of Irish cops? He said, wait a minute, don't move. Stay right there. Great White Father rushed in the house to explain this funny joke to Super White Father. This dumb, stupid, Bigfoot, clumsy Irishman talk about being the police. Great White Father rushed up to Super White Father and said, come here, Rocky, come here. Super White Father said, yeah, what do you want, white boy? Super White Father, can you believe this dumb, stupid Irishman talk about if we relieve him from being the engine, in return he'll be our police, a dumb Irishman, a cop? Super White Father said, well, that's the cleverest thing I've heard since we landed at the Plymouth. So, oh, come on, Super White Father, you know that Irishman too dumb to be the police? Damn you, white boy, sit on the floor. Sometime I don't know how you got in here with us. Damn you, I said that's the cleverest thing I heard, the Irishman wanting to be the police. He said, but the Irishman's too dumb. Shut up, I said. That's who you want to be, the police. Somebody that's so dumb they don't know right from wrong. Anything wrong we do, we'd tell them it's right. And anybody try to interfere with us, we'd tell them they're wrong. Say, ooh, you sure is smart. That's why you super white folks. Can I get up now? It came to pass, the Irishman came to police. All the tricks was really working pretty mellow. All his things was together. He had everything uptight except one thing. That's right, no more engines. Again, Great White Father held a big meeting in the mansion. Said, we got to get us another engine today. Said, well, who we gonna get? Who's left? Look down the valley. Tell that Italian to come here. Come here, you wop. Yeah, what for you want with me? You the engine, wop. Say, the engine, what's that? Say, you find out. Let that monkey go. Get rid of that organ grinder. Take that gun, run for the hills. The battalion made a pretty good little old engine. Matter of fact, if you really want to find out what the cowboy is all about, you should all read the story of Psycho and Vanzetti. Matter of fact, if I had my way, I'd make it mandatory by law that every American that reached the tender age of 12 would be forced to read the story of Psycho and Vanzetti. Oh, Italians made hip Indians, man, till they got hip to what was going down. And they, too, hurried up back to the Great White Father's mansion, knocked on the door. Great White Father went to the door and said, yeah, what do you want, Italian? We just come to tell you we're not going to be the engine no more. Say, okay, boy. You're not going to be the engine no more. You have to do something for us. What do you want to do? Italian said, we'll do anything you want us to do except be the engine. Say, anything? Say, anything. Say, okay, Italian. How about pushing a little dope for us? Say, oh, no, you just want to get us put in jail. How in the hell can we get you put in jail, boy, when we own the Irish police? They can't put nobody in jail unless we tell them to. And if we want them to put you in jail, you don't have to do nothing. Tanya said, nah. See, even if the police didn't get us, the American people would rebel against us. You just can't go around pushing dope to people's kids and the cops not bothering you without the parents rebelling. So you don't have to worry about the American people. Say, why? That we're going to have them so dumb and stupid they'll never know what's going down. Oh, come on. How you going to have all Americans dumb and stupid? Say, we working on it now. And we got a master plan. Say, master plan? What do you call it? It's called education. Say, how does it work? Say, it's simple. It's very simple. Say, instead of educating them, you indoctrinate them, and they'll never know there's a difference between education and an indoctrination. Italians say, you sure it works? Say, we're positive of it. Say, I guarantee you, one day we'll have everybody in this country so dumb and stupid, they will never have the knowledge or the wisdom to even question
how 9-year-old kid in New York or Chicago can find a heroin man, but the FBI can't find him. So the Italians said, okay, we'll do it. And it came to pass. The Italians became the symbol of crime in America. The Italians became the symbol of murder and hoodlumism in America. And while all of us old, dumb, stupid, freakish Americans was blaming the Italians for all the crime and all the murder and all the gangsterism, the real criminals and the real murderers and the real gangsters, the great white fathers, they was permitted to walk among us and be accepted as statesmen. Oh, they give large grants to all these colleges and universities and try to control who's on the board of directors. And when you young kids try to hit these systems and make them relevant to your cause, when you tell these educational institutions, damn it, we want you to start teaching us how to live and stop teaching us how to make a living, you get in trouble. And so...
so everything was mellow. All his tricks was working. Everything was together, except one thing.
No, it was worse than that, baby. Not only did he not have no engine, wasn't no more left.
Great white father got uptight. He held a big meeting in the mansion. Said, we got to get us an engine today. Cowboy can't be cowboy without an engine. Said, ain't no more engines left, hombre. Said, what we gonna do? Say, what we'll do, tonight we'll choose sides. Tomorrow morning, at 12 noon, we'll meet in front of the OK Corral and have a shootout. That night, they chose sides. That morning, they're sitting at the breakfast table looking at one another with a dead eye, knowing that in less than 4 hours, the great white father is going to wipe out the great white father. What a glorious day. The great wipeout that never happened. Yeah, that's right. At 8:20 that morning, something happened. I never will forget it. At 8:20 that morning, less than 4 hours before Great White Father was going to wipe out one another, at 8:20 that morning, the nigger showed up at the mansion. Knocked on the door. Great White Father rushed to the door, looked out the window and said, yeah, what do you want, nigger? Say, Mr. White Father, we would like to know if we could apply for that engine job. Nigga, what'd you say, nigga? Say, we just like to know if we could be the new engine. Say, hell no, nigga, that's why you the nigga, nigga. But wait a minute, nigga, don't move. Stay right there. Just wait a minute, 1 minute. Great white father rushed in the house to explain this funny joke to super white father. It's dumb, ignorant nigga. So stupid, he wants to be the engine. He rushed up to super white father. Super white, come here. Say, look out the window. Look at that. Look at that nigga out there. He wants to be the engine. Super white father came, looked out the window. Said, come here, white boy. Yeah, what I done now? Said, look at that nigga out there. That ain't no ordinary nigga. He said, well, they all look alike to me. Damn you, sometime I don't know how you got in there with us. I said, look at that nigga. That's no ordinary nigga. Look at him out there standing tall. Lips all tucked in. Brooks Brothers suit on. Phi Beta Kappa Key from Harvard and Yale. That nigga look more like us than us. Tell that nigga to come in here. Come in, nigga.
Yes, sir.
Nigga, I understand you want to be the engine.
Yes, Miss White folks, you like to be the engine. Hey.
All right, nigga, get the hell on out of here before we hurt you.
No, Miss White folks, we really won't be the engine.
And nigga, do you know we do the engine?
Yes, Miss White folks.
Damn lie, nigga. No way in the hell you knew we do the engines want to be. Why don't you lie to me, nigga? I said, do you know we do the engines?
Yes, Miss White Folks, we know.
Nigga, you don't know.
Let me tell you what we do to Injuns.
We rape their women, kill their kids, and burn their village down. You didn't know that, did you, nigga?
Yes, Miss White Folks, we knew it.
You mean, nigga, you know what we do to Injuns and you still want to be one?
Yes, Mr. White Folks.
Why, nigga?
Because you see, Mr. White Folks, y'all do the same thing to niggas, but at least they tell us the Injun get to carry a gun.
I told you them wasn't no ordinary niggas, didn't I? Okay, nigga, you can become the Injun. And it came to pass. We became the new Injuns. That's when the great white father put us in a trick. See, we thought once we become the new Injun, we'd be relieved of our nigger duties. No. Great white father said, you volunteered for that Injun gig. You the nigger too. And we became pretty hip little Injuns till we got hip to what was going on. And we, too, hurried up back to the great white father's mansion, knocked on the door. Of course, we went to the back door. Great white father came to the door, looked out, said, yeah, what you want, nigga? Say, just come to tell you we ain't going to be the Injun no more. I said, nigga, you better get off that post before we hurt you. I said, well, damn, man, you let everybody else go. You know, we was forced to continue to be the Injun for a whole decade. That's right, the decade of the 60s. That's what the rumbling was all about. And to be honest with you, we probably would still be the Injun today had it not been for, thank God, for Stokely Carmichael and Rap Brown. Brother Stokely and Brother Rap taught us one good lesson. Say, my black brother, you don't want to be the Injun no more, then stop looking like the Injun. And once you stop looking like the Injun, he'll understand. Say, well, how do you stop looking like the Injun, Rap, Stokely? Say, well, it's simple, my black brother. First, you got to understand that black is beautiful. You got to take off that wall paint off your face and get that feather out your cap and throw them beads away and quit making them blankets. And once you stop looking like the Injun, he'll understand. Well, we listened to Brother Stokely and we listened to Brother Rapp. And we stopped looking like the Injun. We stopped being ashamed of our hair and we let it grow out the way nature meant for it to grow. And we say, anybody don't like nappy hair, go to hell. We stopped being ashamed of our black face. We don't use all that old bleaching cream no more. We stopped being ashamed of our big lips. We don't tuck them in no more. We let them all hang out. Ain't y'all ashamed them big old lips? No, we used to be. How come y'all ain't ashamed no more? Well, when you stop and think about it, all men need a little love, and all big lips means when I reach to kiss my lady, chances are I ain't gonna miss her. We stop being ashamed of our wide nose. Ain't y'all ashamed of them big old funny looking noses? They used to be. How come y'all ain't ashamed no more? Well, realize that through nature, man couldn't live without breathing in air. We just wonder why he fixed it so we could breathe in that much more air than you. Every time you take a white cat to the hospital, put him in the ambulance before he get the engine on good, got that oxygen tin over his little old white noses. That's $100 before you even find out what's wrong with you. Yeah, we don't have to go that route. Hey, Doc, what's wrong with Jabbo over there? Say, I don't know, he's getting too much air. Plug up one of his nostrils. So I say to you youngsters, you got a big job. Stay as honest and as ethical and as decent as you are, it's honesty, it's statesmanship ability, it's ethics that gives hope to the world, not guns and dynamite and slimy, sick, degenerate armies. And as long as you stay honest and ethical, as long as you stay statesmanlike, there will be hope. You've got a big job. Thank you. God bless you. Make you have fun. Peace and freedom.